How is the Josh? Can't hear. Hope that we had a good week and we are all excited this morning to hear from the Word of God. And it's a privilege and it's an opportunity. I always say pulpit is precious. When we stand here, we speak the Word of God. And it is so precious that God speaks through His people. And this morning, I'm going to bring the heart of God for us, all of us who all are here, and also those who are not able to make it. But this is something very interesting for us and very crucial in our journey as we live with God in eternity. I always wondered, does my decisions have any consequences over my future? You know, it's a battle where you kind of ponder on yourself and put it that, does my decisions which I make have any consequences over my future? And I always kind of brought in one aspect which I used to speak about is, my decision will determine my destiny. Okay? And maybe kind of like when we look at the scriptures, we may, you know, see in the scriptures God working in this direction where a few crucial decisions have been made, and for them who have not made crucial decisions, God been also gracious to them. And over the period of years, it's been an amazing place to be in, where we experienced, as a church, we experienced, you know, amazing decisions and important decisions, crucial decisions. And it really helped us of what we are today as a family, what we are today as a church family, and what we see, you know, in the life of others. For the next few weeks, okay, we are going to look on decision making. What's God's heart? You know, what does God expect us when we make decisions? It will be very practical because we all make decisions in our life. Through in, through out, day in, year out, always, you know, there are decisions have been made. Also, there are many crucial decisions which we make, important decisions which we make. And what is God's heart for us this morning, where God is going to bring this aspect of His heart towards us, that how do we make decisions? You know, that is what we are going to look after, look today. And then, in the next few weeks, we are going to look at how, as an individual, we can make decisions, and how we in a family can make decisions, and how we as a church can make decisions. Okay, so this is kind of a series which we are going to look in the next 4 weeks on decision making. Why I'm saying is, like, many times our decisions can determine our destiny, and throughout this entire process, God has also been gracious to us. Even kind of like if we take any wrong decisions as well, God has been gracious to bring us back, but it has His own consequences. So are you guys excited, you know, decision making? Yes, we all kind of find it very difficult. It is one of the crucial thing in our Christian journey where we need to know how do I take decision, which is godly decisions, okay, in my life, for my family, for my church, and as an individual. You know, first of all, before we begin, apologies that today we did not have Sunday school. We have taken a tough decision, you know. And the decision kind of, you know, where we have communicated to this hotel management that this is not going to work the way you move ahead. And also, some decisions, very crucial, but we need to trust God. But, you know, we are looking forward next week, we will get that place, you know, which we needed for our Sunday school. God gives us free choice, free will to live our lives the way we desire. And one of the greatest gifts is the freedom which God has given us. Tell me, the greatest gift which God gave me is freedom to choose. Tell your neighbor, tell yourself, the greatest gift which God has given me is to choose myself. Okay? God wants us to choose. Because He loves us. And the other side, He wants us to choose His will so that we will follow in the track which he is kind of asking us. You know, this series is an overall inspiration from God. It is not something which we have sourced, resourced, and got it, but it is for our church, for Renewed Hope Community. And you will see that happening in this coming weeks. And I would believe that we would take very crucial decisions, even now, at this time, and in this coming weeks. So decisions can determine our destiny, but also God is kind of gracious enough to help us, to lead us in our journey. You know, there's a saying which says that anyone can make decisions about what to do, but only those who rely on God can discern what God wants us to do. Anyone can make decisions about what to do, but only those who rely on God can discern what God wants us to do. Okay? And God's heart is over our decision making. I don't know why we are talking this aspect of decision making. I believe this year we would be taking very crucial decisions. Not this year, maybe today you may take some crucial decisions. Or in this coming month you are going to take some crucial decisions. And there is a choice which is given to us. What are you going to choose? What are we going to choose? Okay? So this is not a sermon. It is not something which we have just brought it forward. It is the heart of God for us this morning, what God wants us to hear. So hear carefully. These are precious jewels, and through the word of God, we'll be bringing it forward. Before we see the decision making, you know, what's God's heart in our decision making, I want to start with a story from the scripture to begin this, you know, begin this day's God's word for us. And God wants us to hear this out. This is a very famous book, the book of Ruth. And I'll read it for all of us. If someone can read it, if you pass the mic, we can read Ruth 1:1-5. Nice, crisp, loud, so that our sleep. You can on the mic and can you begin from the beginning? Yes.
Okay. Naomi loses her husband and sons. In the days when the judges ruled, there was famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech. His wife's name was Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband.
So we know this story, we know this context. You know, all this is happening, the judges are ruling over Israel, and there was a famine in the land, and so this family has to move from Bethlehem to Moab. And during this entire process, you see all men die. Okay? Naomi's husband dies, his children die, and all the women, three women, are left over. So this is what we begin from. Decisions, how crucial is our decisions when we make. As I said, anyone can make decisions about what to do. But only those who rely on God can discern what he wants us to do. Okay? So, practical decision. For mine, they have to provide for their family. So they have to definitely move from one place to another place. And the book starts with so much of pain and so much of in distress. For mine and death, you know. But when we read this book, right? When we read this entire book, we know. You know, everyone loves the story of Ruth, Boaz, Naomi. Correct? All special characters. But it starts with something very interesting. And when we take the last chapter of Judges, It says in Judges 21:25, it says, in those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as they saw fit. Okay? That is the end of the previous book, that is Judges. So, you know, when we say books, there are, you know, in ancient times, we, you know, the books are given to us at this time so that, you know, it is for readability, so that we can, you know, we have some context behind. But initially, it was all kind of a single scroll. You know, everything is written in letters, you know, in the scroll, and it's given to us. And the scholars, you know, biblical writers have made this as books so that it becomes easy for us to read. So if you look at just a verse ahead of this, it says, Israel, in those days, Israel had no king and everyone did as they want. And there is a famine in this place, and this family decides to go to a place called as Moab. Very interesting. You know, and this, in this process, you see all the men die. And the great characters arise after this. Boaz, you know, and then we see the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Firstly, what does Bethlehem mean? Bethlehem means the house of bread. What does this mean? House of bread. There's a famine in the place called as house of bread. And Moab is a place where they were all enemies of God. Or they were always against the people of Israel. And God hated. And if you look at the Moab community, it has come from a, we can say, in a very different way. If you read the context behind how Moabites came into existence, that is very interesting. But I don't want to touch that. They're living a place which is called as house of bread, where there is famine, practical situations where they have to decide that they have to move from this place because there is famine. But Bethlehem means it's the house of bread. It's the house of bread. But they left the house of bread because they saw famine. And they went to a place where there were enemies of God, or people who were against the people of God and people of God. Practically, if I want to say, decisions correct. Yes, famine, so they have to go survive for their family. But this entire process they left. They left the house of bread. They left the house of bread where God would have provided, God may have given, God may have abundantly blessed. But they took a decision because it seemed very practical for them, and they moved out to a different place. Secondly, initially when they took a decision, they decided that we are going to live only for a few years. In verse 1, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country. So the second decision which they made, it was not concrete. It was not fixed. They went to live in a place for a while, but you look at it, in verse 4, they lived there for 10 years. They went there to live for a while. Bethlehem still existed. People in Bethlehem still existed. God provided in Bethlehem bread or different sources. It's not that Bethlehem did not exist and everyone moved. Bethlehem still existed. So the second decision which they made was not concrete, not fixed. They went for a while, but they lived 10 years there. And in the process of 10 years, death, horrible, painful, you know, things. So how much are decisions, you know, has to come from God? Practically, you see, there is a famine. It makes sense for me to move from this place because at this time there is no provision. Yes. Second thing is moving towards that place without any concrete, without hearing from God, without knowing how long they're going to stay. Is it God is going to call us back? They go ahead for a while, but they live there for 10 years. So with that note, you know, decisions, but we see God's hand even all this. Let's hear from God for us this morning, how he wants us to take decisions. God's heart for us this morning is pray and ask for wisdom. What is it? Wisdom. Pray and ask not for direction, ask for wisdom. You know, in James 1:5 it says, If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously. Means it is not that means you have to fast, pray, and you know, you have to go 10 miles and go to this temple. No. You ask, you pray, God will give us generously if you lack wisdom, and it will be given to you. You know, it's something like this. If you know someone who knows the future, who knows everything, who knows what is going to happen, will we go to that person for an advice today? Yes, if you know that person knows everything, he knows the future, we will always go to that person. Of course, we will go. But when we know that God is the source of wisdom, before we take any decisions, before even we think of deciding something, we need to go to God and ask, God, give me the wisdom. In the scripture, we know Solomon asked for wisdom and God gave him the wisdom. We should always ask God before we take any decisions in our life. We may think practically it is correct. Practically, yes, it's barren. Practically, I can't provide for my family. But it is the place where we can go to God and ask God, God, give me the wisdom so that I can, when I take decisions, I can take decisions appropriately. So if any one of us lacks wisdom, we should go and ask God, who is ready to give us generously. Okay? So tell your neighbor with the spirit that going forth, I'm going to ask God for wisdom before I take any decision. It's a big statement, but you know, just look at a person next to you or yourself and say, Lord, I will ask for wisdom before I take any decisions. You know, and we have a king. We have a God who says, ask and I will give you wisdom, which will allow us, help us to take decisions in our life. Okay? Second is God's heart for us is seek counsel. Sometimes though, you know, we can filter advices we receive through the grid, you know, between us. What is truth? What is humanly? And what God is speaking to us. So we can ask God many times, ask counsel from people. And in Proverbs 15:22, it says, without counsel, plans fail. But with many advices, they succeed. Where there is no guidance, people fall. But in abundance of counselors, there is safety. The way of fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. So seek counsel. Seek counsel from the people of God. Seek counsel from the Holy Spirit. Seek counsel among the person who knows you very well. We often go to people whom we want to hear what, you know, we always go to people where what I want to hear from that person. And we will never go to people whom we know that this person is going to say something against my decision. This morning God is asking us to do, are you that person? Seek counsel. There is no harm in seeking counsel biblically. It says, where there is abundance of counsel, there is safety. There is safety in abundance of counsel. Definitely we have to ask wisdom from God. We can ask counsel because the human spirit dominates the spirit of God. The human spirit, the human desire dominates the spirit of God. And we have to seek counsel. You know, my pastor is always saying, go to a person, always. We should always have one person in your life who will not take you what you are saying. Or not go with what you are saying, but He will always bring the perspective which he believes, or he believes that God has put in his heart for you. We should have always person like that. But human spirit dominates in such a way that we want to hear something which we want to do, and we go to people saying that, I think this, and the other person also says, yes, you are correct. Seek counsel, godly counsel in making decisions. This is the heart of God. Okay, ask for wisdom and it will be given to you. When you have wisdom, you know where to go, which person to approach. And godly people, you know, our leaders are there to help us. Even now, the smallest decision or a bigger decision, if we want to make, even I know what is right, I'm living, you know, I'm saying that I'm on the field, I know what is happening, but I will always go to my leader or pastor and say that this is what we are thinking. What do you think about it? He will always not speak what I want to hear. But I used to always think that why he's not understanding what I'm trying to say. But I always seen over the period of years what he has said is apt. And it has worked. Because even I did not like his counsel, I took his counsel as word of God. And today we are bearing fruit. In one of the stories in the scripture which talks about this is, you know, there's a guy called as Rehoboam. Who is Rehoboam? Who is Rehoboam? Quiz. Solomon's son. Correct. Solomon's son, Rehoboam. Okay. Solomon died. Rehoboam is leading. And there is a guy known as, what is this guy's name? Jehoshaphat, where he, you know, there is some conflict between both of them. Now, this is a time where Israel was divided into two. Northern kingdom and southern kingdom. One was known as Israel, the other was known as Judea. Okay. Now this guy, Rehoboam, belongs to Judah because David and all that, you know, there was different tribes. And now the people of Israel, means he's ruling everyone. Solomon ruled everyone, the entire Israel, and there was no conflict. Now the people came to him, that is the people of Israel. Someone can read this, 4 to 11.
Your father put a heavy yoke on us, but now lighten the harsh labor and the heavy yoke he put on us, and he will serve you. Rehoboam answered, go away for 3 days and then come back to me. So the people went away. Then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who had served his father Solomon during his lifetime. How would you advise me to answer these people? He asked. They replied, if today you will be a servant to these people and serve them and give them a favorable answer, they will always be your servants. But Rehoboam rejected the advice the elders gave him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him and were serving him. He asked them, what is your advice? How should we answer these people who say to me, lighten the yoke your father put on us? The young men who had grown up with him replied, these people have said to you, your father put a heavy yoke on us, but make our yoke lighter. Now tell them, my little finger is thicker than my father's waist. My father laid on you a heavy yoke. I will make it even heavier. My father scourged you with whips. I will scourge you with scorpions.
Very good counsel. And this guy is a, you know, son of a great king. And now the people are not saying that they will not serve him. They are saying, it's been heavy for us. They built, worked for the temple. They worked a lot of, you know, hard work. Little bit you lower, we will serve you. So this guy goes to the elders. They say, yes, you serve them. What does they say? The elders said, king, you serve them and they will serve you in return. And they will always serve you in return. But this guy did not want to hear this. He went to his, whom he went? The counsel which he wanted to hear. That is his friends. And they gave him a very good counsel. He said, burden them. And that began that friction. You know, in history, if you read this, you know, Israel, they considered themselves as a separate nation. Judea considered themselves as a separate nation. It all began with small frictions like this. And there's a division which happened in between the own people of God. Seek counsel. Seek godly counsel. Not the counsel whom we want to listen. Seek to people who will challenge our decisions. Go to people whom you feel that they don't like me. Go to them. I would say they will give you the right option, right direction, and get that. You know, hear from God, confirm it from God, and move ahead in that direction. Someone should be there in our life who can challenge where we can easily go and seek counsel. First is, ask God for wisdom. Pray and ask God. God will give us wisdom. Second is, seek counsel. When you seek counsel, you know, there are people whom God has placed in our lives. They are the best, you know, to give us and direct us to the right place. Third is, God does not want us to isolate ourselves. Okay? What do you mean by isolation? Isolation means working independently. The attitude is, I know everything. What does that mean? I know everything. Okay? An unfriendly person pursues selfish ends and against all sound judgments taught quarrels. Fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. Don't isolate ourselves. God doesn't want us to isolate ourselves. We should never be in a place where we would come and say that I know everything. I hear God. But in a place we should be where I say, God, you speak to me more. I want to hear more, Lord. And that is the thing where kind of, you know, we would kind of seek right counseling and take right decisions in our life. Fools find, I know, these are scripture verses. Fools find no pleasure in understanding. They don't want to understand what you are saying or what is brought forward to us. And they delight in airing their own opinions. They want to bring their own opinions. You speak 10, they will speak 1 at least, which will conflict your overall 10. And they delight in hearing their opinions. Why I'm saying this morning is God wants us to hear this out very clearly, including myself. This is the most dangerous thing to have in our life. Not to implement what we hear, rather than isolating ourselves and just giving our ears to hear for the sake of hearing. You know, this stands out. I have not put the scripture portion as like, you know, Samuel said to Saul, go in that place, wait for 3 days, come, I will sacrifice. This guy thought, "Arey, everyone is leaving, this is there, that is there. You know, I think this is the best decision to make at this time." Where God has already spoken to him, given the direction through Samuel, but this guy went and he did that sacrifice, and Samuel came and said, "Boss, your kingdom is gone." And it was given back to David. So, what do we learn from all this is, what is God's heart? It is very interesting, very crucial. Whatever stage we grow in life, we can't isolate ourselves and implement what we have learned over our experiences. The enemy is a roaring lion, waiting to devour the plans of God. And he is called as the enemy of God. He always will bring something which is confusing to us. So don't isolate yourself. Always be there in midst of people and ask God for wisdom. Seek counseling from God, from people. And always give ears to the opinions which, you know, others have in our lives. Third is, when we hear from God. Fourth is, when we hear from God, we need to trust the Lord. Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. The direction which comes from God, it conflicts many times because of our own understanding, because of our own experiences. But the Bible says, trust in the Lord. When you hear a counsel, when we hear from God, and something which your desire, your heart desire, what you want to do, it is against that. God says, trust in the plan of God and lean not in your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him. Difficult, but He will make our paths straight. Wonderful reference. Elijah and the widow of Zarephath. Someone can read this louder?
Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid, go home and do as you have said, but first make a small loaf of bread for me and from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, the jar of flour will not be used up and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land." She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up and the jug of oil did not run dry in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah.
Amen. Very interesting scripture portion where the woman has to trust what Elijah is saying. She has little, Elijah is saying, "Give me that little." And he is prophetically claiming that to him. In verse 13, he said, "Don't be afraid, go home and do as you have said." You know, she's fearful of following because it is impractical. Moving out of Bethlehem looks, staying in Bethlehem looks impractical. So you have to move out from Bethlehem. Same way here, you know, whatever you have said is fine, but there is fear. And I can't take this decision because what I have is little. If I give it to you, you know, not only me, my son will also die. One thing which I want to kind of emphasize is God does speak to us in times like this where we don't know, you know, what needs to be done. But God saying to us this morning, trust in the Lord. Verse 9 is something which I want to highlight, something which is interesting. Okay, it says, "Go at once." Then the word of verse 8. To 9. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food." What this was, verse 9, when we read, it says, the Lord is saying that I have directed that woman to provide for you. What does that mean? That means there was an inspiration. There was something which has come to the to this woman where it has been already been directed for her that someone is going to come. You have to provide, or there's some inspiration where she has to give back. So many times when we hear God, you know, I believe the Zarephath, you know, when the Lord said that, you know, I have directed this woman to give you, means, you know, turned her so that she will provide for you. Many times God does speak to us. When the man stood there, whatever he heard, she heard from God, everything went off. Because practically, it does not make sense for her to give everything what she has. But the scripture says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not your own understanding. In all your ways, my barns are empty. There is famine in this place. Trust in the Lord. When the word of Lord comes, we need to trust Him. He will make our paths straight. And you know, you look at this woman's statement as well. It's like our statement. I'm going to die where God has directed. It says in verse 9, I have directed her to provide for you. But But the Zarephath, the woman of Zarephath, is saying that I'm collecting all this to die. You see this? How much our human spirit dominates the spirit of God which speaks to us, which nullifies the word which is living in us, and which blinds us, and we see the current situation and reality, and we behave in that way. Not only words, her behavior. She said, I'm ready to die. But in verse 9, God was very clear. I have directed her. Many times, Lord speaks to us in different ways. But we don't hear God. What we want is death. That is spiritual death. And we desire that spiritual death. But God's abundance flow. And it says, she gave only little what he had, but God provided for her till the time the rain came. Trusting in the Lord, when we hear God, it will conflict what I have today. It will conflict my decisions. It will conflict my desires. It will conflict my path. It will conflict my directions. It will conflict where I want to go. But trust in the Lord. If you have heard it correctly, don't get blinded. And trust the counsel of God and the counsel of people. Another one, I'm saying this all are being an inspiration from the scripture that is word of God. It is not any derivation. It is plain as flat as what we want to hear this morning. Commitment to follow God's plan for overall life. Many times we have seen, Lord, we don't know where to go, what to do, what should we do? You know, we have been challenged many times when we were in Panvel. Like, Lord, do you want me to be here or not? You tell me very clearly. I'm ready to go. I don't want to waste my life in Panvel. Many times been in that place. But if we have committed to follow God's plan in our life, then it becomes easy for us to take decisions. When we decided that whatever happens, Lord, we made a clause and we prayed and we asked God, God, the church is not growing. People are not coming. We are exhausted. And there is a call for us from UK that can you come there? There's a call from our other church that will you pastor there? There is already a people. But we are in Panvel, hoping for God to work. And if we commit ourselves to God, that God, I will follow the plans of your life. I had a very single statement which we made as a family, saying that if God wanted us to be in Panvel, he will not take us out from Panvel. And then we said, Lord, I'm not clear, we are not clear, but if you want us to be out from Panvel, our leaders should come and say that, like, you know, Virgil and Sandra, this is a time for you to move out of Panvel. Rather, you know, we put this statement out. That was my prayer, to be very open. It's a very harsh prayer which I prayed for years. Lord, kick me out of Panvel if I am a stumbling block for you and for your church in Panvel. I used to pray this. Kick me out of Panvel, Lord. When I know my commitment towards God's plan, it becomes easy for me to take decisions in life. If there is no commitment, if there is no plan, if there is no hope, you know, you go for, you know, live for some time, but you live for 10 years there. That is not how our faith works. Our God is a God of precision. He will, you know, we saw eternal. He knows. So we should be in a place where we should know what God is calling me for. And why I am being in Panvel. We have to be very clear in that. And then anything comes up. Any situation, any famine, any celebration comes up, you know, we may be able to spearhead anything. Romans 12, 1 to 2, it says, Therefore, I argue, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, that is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve that God's will is His good, pleasing, and perfect will. I need to submit myself to God. My life should be submitted. I should offer my body for my family, for my church, for as a living sacrifice for God. Then God works amazingly. And what a journey which we are having in Panvel, I can't express. All because we were very clear what need to be done and what need to do. Another thing, many of us here, control your emotions. God is saying this to you. Don't cry now. Wise people think before they act. And this is one of the things which was just popping out when I was just preparing this message. Or God wants us to emphasize more. Let us not take decisions because of our emotions. When people get hurt, offended, they take decisions by their emotions and they justify it. But the scripture says, wise people think before they act. And if we pray and ask God, we seek counsel, we offer our body as a living sacrifice, we trust the Lord, we will not be an emotional driven person. We will be a person who will be led by the Spirit, not emotions. So don't take any decisions in our life. This is the heart of God, okay? This is the heart of God which is coming to us saying that, Virgil, please, RSC, don't take any decisions because of your emotions, because of your hurt, because you have been offended. Don't take any decisions. Think before you act. And all of this also has a lot of benefits. Okay. You know, there are a lot of promise. God's promise will be fulfilled in our lives. What is the promise? In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your straight path straight. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. And this promise is for all of us. This verse will bring, or it will come to life once we have taken decision what God has asked us to do. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. And I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Scripture portion references. Exodus 13, 21, 22. By the day the Lord went ahead of them. This is something when they're just coming out, you know, crossing the sea, and they're coming out. By the day the Lord went ahead. Who went ahead? Lord. Many times when we hear God, we don't have to go in the front. The Lord goes ahead of us. A pillar of cloud to guide them on the way. And by night, a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. You know what a promise? Lord goes ahead of us, and a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. Direction. In all ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. He will instruct us and He will teach us in the way we should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. What a promise. And we have experienced it, church. And I believe that many of us here have experienced it. But if you have not experienced it recently, then that is something which is missing at this time. This is another thing which was just coming out, and I want to emphasize here more, because I believe that, you know, it is something which we kind of like, we all been there. Willing to admit mistakes. We should learn, all of us, that we are willing to admit mistakes and adjust accordingly. In most cases, I would say there is no wisdom in continuing down the wrong path after you have discovered it was wrong. Be willing to admit and admit your mistakes and adjust accordingly. In most cases, or in all the cases, there is no wisdom continuing down a wrong path after you have discovered it is wrong. Be willing to admit your failures, admit your mistakes, and our God is graciously there to change us. Many times we feel that there is no turning back. What people will think if I change this, if I change my decision? What people will think, what my family will think if I change this decision now? But the truth is, there is no point moving in the wrong direction. You will exhaust your life. And that is not God's heart. God's heart is to place a pillar of light when there is dark, where you need his direction. God's heart is when you don't know where to go, there is a direction in the cloud which is there for you to move ahead. And there is no point, this is the truth, in going in the wrong direction. It's like this, right? You ordered a meal, and now you spend 500 rupees for that meal. And now you identify that there is something wrong with this meal. It's tasteless, or it is of something which is old, and you see some dirt inside that. But you are not willing to let it go because it costs 500 rupees for you. And we want to grab it because we don't want to waste it. And many times in our life, when we take decisions and we realize that, or someone comes and tells us that, boss, this is something which, or God's heart, you know, God's people come and tell you that, you know, this is not the right decision, or you hear from God, you know, there's a lot of fear, and we don't want to take that up because we have spent 500 rupees. Let me have it and die. God's heart is not that, church, this morning for all of us. The Spirit is in the midst of us at this time. If you have discovered that it was a wrong choice, is time at this second, if you take that decision, everything can be restored back. Don't think about family. Don't think about church. Don't think about people. Think about that. This direction where you are leading is not going to benefit. Not you, not anyone. So there is always, or I would say, 100% possibility that I can turn back. I will not continue in that direction. We began with the story of Ruth, and we will end the story with Ruth. Ruth 1:6, when Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to his aid, his people, by providing food for them, she and her daughter-in-law prepared to return home from there. You can always come back to Bethlehem, where it is known as the bread, house of bread. We can always come back to God. That is how bad you have messed up, or we have messed up things. It's always a possibility, or it's the biggest chance, or it is the best chance, I would say, that turn down. They went back, returned home from there. Where was her home? Bethlehem. house of bread. So, Naomi did not think that we messed up. We messed things up. Ruth did not think that I lost everything. Let me, what is there? It's okay. It's okay. We can change even now. That's the reality, church. That is the word of God for us. And I, again, would bring that point or bring that aspect, the Spirit of God. If it is speaking to you, you can change it even now. They lost everything, but one decision to go back home again where they belonged. Ruth 4:16. Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him. The woman living there said, Naomi has a son, and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Willing to move back from our wrong choices has greater blessings, church. Has greater breakthroughs. You know, you don't have to walk in that route again. If Christ is offering you today, they went back to the house of bread. Today Christ says, come. It's there for us as well. It is there for you and me as well. And not only that, she lost everything, but you see the genealogy. Ruth's son was Obed, who was the father of Jesse, the father of David. And then we know the genealogy, and we know from David the genealogy of Jesus Christ. How bad we may have messed up in our lives, how bad, there is always a chance of going back to the house of bread. If you want, you can do it right away. And there is no condemnation, there is no guilt, there is nothing. No hurt, no pain. Everything was new, and there was a blessing. And there was a blessing. Christ offers you this morning reconciliation. Christ offers you direction. Christ offers you the path of life. Why are we hearing this today? Because God loves you. God loves us. Christ said this on the cross. Okay, recap. I don't want to just kind of put it and then we pray and ask for wisdom. Seek counsel whom God has placed us in our life. Don't isolate yourself. Don't make yourself independent. Trust the Lord, His promises. Everything would look wrong. But trust the Lord when God speaks to us. Have a commitment to follow God's plan in your life so that it becomes easy for us to take decisions. Control your emotions. Don't just because you have been hurt, because things have been very bad, control your emotions before you act. God's promise is there for us that He will direct us, He will lead us, He will show us, He will teach us, He will counsel us. Willing to admit our mistakes. Willing to admit humility can bring reconciliation. Christ said this on the cross. Going to little father, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed. He said, "For my father, it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I my will, but as your will." Amazing? Yes. Christ said, the Son of God, eternal, submitting to the will of the Father. If we are in a place, and if we believe that, yes, you know, see, the word of God will never go empty. It brings life. And It is not for entertainment. It is not for motivation. It is a life giver. And it's alive. It's flesh. You know, it's living. It is not dead. Whenever it has been spoken, it brings back life. Brings back our conscience. Brings back the things which God is asking us to do. And this morning, I would say, don't harden. I would say, hear God. Take right decisions. Today, it may look like it's failure, but if you take that decision today, it is going to change your life forever. Can we all